in the portion of knowing that he wants us, he didn't leave us as orphans, but he gave us something far greater in life to be able to accomplish things that he had predestined for us to do, and that was he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that's how we produce the lasting fruit. And all of this came out of John 15:16. In that, last week I said that chapters 13 of John through 17 was known as the upper room discourse, meaning it was known as the upper room discussion. And I think, and I was trying to share with you guys that at that last moment, when Jesus was knew that he was going to be betrayed, knew that he was going to the cross, knew that he was going to be tortured, he knew that he had some very, very important things to tell his believers, the disciples that were with him. And I tried to relate it to like myself as a father. If I was on my deathbed, I think those things that I was going to tell those that are closest to me were going to be some of the most important things you could ever, that would ever come out of my mouth. That I love you and that don't worry, life's going to be okay. And Jesus, through these chapters, started to say some things. What I want to focus on today is what he said about praying in his name. Pastor Kathy, that song, Love Has a Name. You know, I don't prepare the message beforehand, and you prepare these songs months in advance, and it just so happens that it comes this way. So the title of today's message is What's in a Name? And every single one of us in here have a name, right? Yeah. Some of us more than one name. I was baptized Catholic when I was a little tiny baby, even got a baptismal name, Joseph. So my full name is Michael Patrick Joseph Mikey. You know, but if somebody was to say that guy, it really wouldn't resonate. So names are important, right? All of us have a name for a very specific reason. And so in that, Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, I'm not going to be with you much longer, but what you ask in my name. See, he was making it very specific because we're in a day and age, and even back then, when there was different idols and different gods, we're in a day and age right now still where there are a lot of different gods out there. And you hear people praying to God all the time. And I've even heard people tell that the God of Islam is the same God that we serve. And I'm telling you, it is not. Unless it is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, it is not the same God. And so we have a very, very specific instructions in multiple areas in the Bible that tell us why we should pray in Jesus' name. Because we're not just praying to a God, we're praying to the God, the God, the one that gives resurrection life, the God that is full of power, the God that hears your prayers, the God that delivers you into eternal life, the God that gives you salvation. Love has a name, Jesus. Hope has a name, Jesus. Grace of God has a name, Jesus. The way, the truth, the life, Jesus. The door, Jesus. The Rose of Sharon, Jesus. The Messiah, Jesus. My deliverer, Jesus. The high tower, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him and everything that we do in life, in our walk. You will lack a relationship with Jesus Christ if you're serving God without Jesus. That is the whole point of Christianity. Christ follower, Christian, Christ-like. You see, back in the day, the name Christian was given to those that followed Jesus as kind of a bad name. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Kind of like you're an idiot or whatever, you know? You understand what I'm saying? You're one of those Christians. But I wear it as a badge of honor. I am so honored to be labeled as a Christian. And I am so honored to stand before anyone and give an account of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And when you take that and you personalize what Jesus Christ did for you, transformation will take place in your life like never before.
Amen.
think on those things that you had prior to him, and then meditate on the things that you have now with him. For me and my household, big, big difference. Big difference. Because we were all born into the world, but I can stand before you and say, but I am not of this world, man. I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. I am in this new kingdom called the kingdom of God, and I stand before you made right with God because of Jesus Christ. Not because of what I do, but because of what he did, and that is a beautiful thing. And so when I recognize that every day, I'm like, aha, I'm in your hands, God, because of your son, Jesus Christ, because of what was done on the cross. I no longer have to walk in life in fear. I don't have to walk in doubt. I don't have to walk in dismay. I don't have to walk in depression, but I walk in complete and utter victory. I fight battles from victory. I don't fight for victory because I'm already set in that place. And that is available to every believer. And you may say, but I don't feel it right now. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. Well, here's the deal. You've got to get to that place where maybe you do feel it. And the only time that I start to really feel it is when I'm starting to preach myself happy, is what I say. But when that goes for me, when I start to reflect on all of the things that God has done in my life, I mean, it is like a rehearsal book of glory. When I look and I go, whoa, you were there right there, and you were there right there. I mean, I had jobs in the nursing field. I had jobs created for me, so that all of a sudden my prayers were answered and I didn't have to miss church on Sunday.
Thank you, Lord.
I was assistant nurse manager, and there was not a position for assistant nurse manager. It was created. Power and prayer in Jesus Christ's name. In his name. So define the word name. Name. What's in a name? It's a word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. That's the simple definition of name. But it's very specific. So if I was to say, you know, that guy, chances are, no, you don't know that guy. You know, you ever had the conversation with somebody you're close to or with your spouse or something? You know what I'm talking about. That guy, the one over there the other day that did the thing, and you're trying, you know, white, short, tall, fat, big, whatever. You know, wears glasses, doesn't wear glasses. Wears a suit, doesn't wear a suit, whatever, you know. That guy. And you're like, But then all of a sudden you go, no, Mikey. Oh, Mikey. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, because there's only one Mikey. Michael P. Mikey, anyways. Michael Patrick Mikey. But when you put a name with the individual, it sets that individual apart from every other individual. Okay, so I look out and I'm like, Gina Patterson. I only know one Gina Patterson. You know, I only know one Lisa Larson, who used to be a Barnes, but not no more. Right? You know, I only know these one individuals. And then there's always something that separates that individual from others when you put a name with it. Because when you put a name with it, it takes the questions out. See, that guy leaves questions. Or praying to God without referring to what God you're praying to, it leaves questions. So when you go, Mikey, then all of a sudden that puts a face with the name. People now see the character of Mikey. They now see his flaws or the good in him. They also see his reputation. Just by the name, I'm known by my reputation. That's scripture. A good name is a good thing to have according to scripture, right? And so Jesus Christ, we are his ambassadors. We are the one, it's like an ambassador of a nation, right? The ambassador of a nation, the ambassador of the United States of America, is in another country representing what America stands for. We are known as the ambassadors of Christ, Jesus Christ. So we are in this country right here, or whichever place you're at, representing what Jesus Christ is all about. So how do we close our prayers? How do we start our prayers? Whatever. In the middle of the prayers, it is in Jesus' name. Because now people can recognize you. When you pray for somebody, And they receive that healing, and in you're praying in Jesus' name, guess what? Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Jesus gets the glory. It's not some mix-match hodgepodge of whatever hocus-pocus you want. It's not a magic trip. It's a faith walk that we have as Christians, and there's power in the name, and there's authority in the name, and there's changes that take place in His name. By a name, you can know their moral standing. You can know that the influence they have or the influence that they lack. It paints a more vivid picture when you talk about someone in accordance to their name.
Good word.
John 14:13 and 14. I'll be in mostly John today, guys. If you're turning there, you can turn there and just stay in this area. It says, I will do anything you ask. This is Jesus speaking. I'll do anything you ask the Father in my name, so that the Father will be given glory because of the Son. The Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, He came here, although He came in full power and authority, was showing us that there was nothing more special than giving God the glory. And so He says, ask in my name so that my Father in heaven, who is our Father in heaven, will be glorified. Moving on, John 15:16 says, you didn't choose me, and this is what I was reading last week, but I chose you. I have appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, and to ask the Father in my name to give you whatever you ask for. Here's the thing. This is what a lot of you may be thinking right now. Those of you that are watching may be thinking this, and I had to ponder this as well. I ask for things all the time, but yet I haven't got them. Why, Lord, hasn't this prayer been answered? I asked in Jesus' name. There's a few things that go along with that that we always need to keep in mind. Number one, our asking has to be in complete faith. It has to be in complete belief that it's going to take place. You see, if you're woe is me and ho-drum and whatever else, and your faith is faltered and it's like, well, in Jesus' name. You know, it's kind of like, well, Paul I know, and you know, Jesus I know, but who are you type thing, or Peter I know. But we have to ask in complete faith. We also have to ask that which would be in the will of God. And you're like, well, what is the will of God? The will of God is the Word of God. So if you're asking out of the Word of God something that's, for lack of other term, worldly, secular type thing, why would God bless you with such a thing? It's not in His will. And you know what? If you're asking for a worldly thing, it doesn't take any faith to get that, because you can get it in the world. We're talking about supernatural things, supernatural breakthroughs. I want to close this message today, not right now, but I want to close this message today with something that I believe the Lord gave me. I was sitting on the couch this morning, and I'm looking at my wife, Stephanie, and I said, I got the message, and I believe this is the way the Lord wanted me to go. I still have questions about it, because I have those questions about, well, why? Why is it that when I ask in Jesus' name, I don't always get it? And she said, well, when you get in the shower, because, man, God speaks to me in the shower. He says, well, when you get in the shower, you'll get it. So anyways, I'm sitting on the couch. She gets in the shower, and I got it. So it was like, it was cool, right? But I really want to touch base on that and when I get to the closing, because hopefully it'll make you reflect a little bit on your life. So we have to ask in the will and the character of God when we're asking things. Definition of character is the mental and moral quality distinctive to an individual. So when we're asking in Jesus' name, we're asking in accordance with something that is very distinctive to Him. Okay? Because you see, without Jesus, we have no way to God. Our only way to God is through him. So we're asking the Father, we're asking directly the Father, not Jesus. But he's our go-between. So we're going to ask in the authority and power of Jesus for something to be done. But it needs to be asked in the character, the moral standing of Jesus himself. Are you with me?
Yes,
following me? It needs to be in his characteristic that we ask these things in his name. And so I looked up some characteristics of Jesus Christ. And I want to share these with you guys because, you know, the kingdom of God is a backwards kingdom. You know, who is first shall be last, who is last shall be first. I mean, it's an upside-down kingdom from what we know in the world. And so here's Jesus, and this is his characteristics. He is high majesty with the greatest of humility. He is the strongest in commitment to justice, but has astonishing mercy and grace. He reveals a transcendent self-sufficiency. He can do all things, right? We can do all things through Christ. He can do all things. Transcendent self-sufficiency, and yet he has entire trust in and reliance upon his heavenly Father. In the Garden of Eden,
yep.
Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But not my will be done, your will be done. He could have called all of heaven's angels down. He could have wiped out all of mankind with just the angels at hand. But he gave his life freely and willingly in accordance to what his Father wanted to do, although he had full authority and power to do opposite of such. He is tender without weakness. He is bold without harshness. You guys ever met those individuals? You know, we pray for boldness, right? A lot of times, Lord, I wish I was as bold as someone else. I wish I could just go up and just pray with somebody. But sometimes people confuse boldness with, good word, obnoxiousness. Look at me. Hey, do you know Jesus? You know, come on, stop it. I don't want to if you're coming at me like that. Because we have a responsibility as an ambassador to represent the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. So the boldness that we walk in is boldness without harshness. Well, I'm not going to share with you because you're walking out of the will of God because you're in so much sin and you forgot where you came from and what you used to do and how you used to be. Boldness without harshness. Humility without uncertainty. I am humble, but I know that I have a confident hope. You know what I mean? It's like you just flip it around, man. And that's our prayer. We pray in humility, but have no uncertainty. Be certain of what you're praying for. Ask humbly, but be certain of what you're going to get. That's called faith. That's called belief. Towering confidence. Confidence. Nobody had to tell Jesus who he was. He knew who he was. The problem is that when we become Christians, we forget who we are. And we like to identify ourselves with who we were in the past. But you understand that now you're with Christ, you are hidden with him, you are clothed by the blood of Jesus. You understand that? Your identification, your representation is that of a child of God. Confident in who you are. Who are you? I am Mike Mikey, a child of God, a child of the Most High.
Amen.
That's fun. The Bible says, if God is for me, what can man do to me? Confident. Bless me, curse me, take my life. It's win-win anyway, because down here I serve him. Like Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's a win-win situation. If we as Christians can grow in the strength and knowledge of Jesus and know what we have and know who we are and continue to remind ourselves who and what we have through him because of the unbelievable grace of God,
amen.
Watch out. Unbending convictions, but complete approachability. I got into a very serious conversation this week. I'm going to go there. They just legalized marijuana for use for anybody 21 years of age or older. My argument is standing on an unbending conviction. Whether somebody uses it medically or whatever, that's not my thing. But we have to draw a line somewhere. So many people and Christians alike don't know who they are in Christ, and so they continue to self-medicate with other substances. You have to draw a line somewhere where you're not going to compromise convictions for the world's way. I went there. So if you want to know my stance on it, that's my stance. But I'm approachable. You can come talk to me about it, and I will listen. Insistence on truth, but always bathed in love. Truth and love. Truth and love.
That's good.
You see, Jesus didn't agree with what everybody did, but he still loved them. Because if you remember, he chose you. He chose you. He still loved you, but he doesn't agree with everything that people do. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. In the world's way of thinking, if you disagree with what somebody does, you hate them. Because you take on a mantle of, if you're not for me, you're against me. And it's the furthest from the truth, because the word of God that I go by says open rebuke is better than hidden love. I'm telling you right now, what you're doing for to yourself is not good for you. Pastor tells me all the time. Pastor Mike, what you're doing is not good for you. Quit eating bacon. All right? Turkey bacon. Jesus, his characteristic was power. He walked in power without insensitivity. He walked in integrity without rigidity. And he had an undying passion without prejudice. Loves everyone. He's passionate for you if you accept him. He's all in. He's all in. People are always wondering, man, where is God at? He didn't leave you. So ask yourself where you're at, because he never left you. And he won't. John 16, 22 through 26. Jesus speaking, and he says, now you're in a painful situation, but I will see you again. And he's telling them, because he's getting ready, he's talking about he's getting ready to leave. But I will see you again. Then you will be happy, and no one will take that happiness away from you. When that day comes, you won't ask me any more questions. I can guarantee this truth. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, so far you haven't asked for anything in my name, because Jesus was with them. Ask and you will receive, so that you can be completely happy. I have used examples to illustrate these things. The time is coming when I won't use examples to speak to you. Rather, I will speak to you about the Father in plain words. When that day comes, you will ask for what you want in my name. I'm telling you that I won't have to ask the Father for you. And that day is right now. He doesn't have to ask the Father for us. We ask the Father ourselves. He has given us a complete relationship. And in that, I'm happy. In that, I have joy. Because, you see, I have an advocate that intercedes for me, and that's Jesus Christ. And I know because of him, there are things going on around me that God is stopping every single day of my life that we're going to bring destruction to my life. And he's doing it for Stephanie, my wife, and he's doing it for my kids, and he's doing it for my church family. How do I know this? Because I see it every single day. Every single day. Well, how do you see that? Well, I try to walk through life with my eyes wide open and my ears wide open, seeing what's taking place in the spiritual realm. And you may be sitting there going, well, why are you talking about yourself a lot? Because I'm telling you, I have to personalize it. It has to make sense to me so that it makes sense to you, hopefully. I want you to personalize everything that you learn about God. If you want to build a strong family, this needs to speak to you first, and then you can work on your family. You see, unless you're, if you're broken, you can't fix somebody else. Working in a psychiatric unit for years and years, people used to tell me, well, I'm not going to try to kill myself anymore because I have my daughter to live for, or I have grandkids to live for. And I would tell them, man, you need to start learning how to live for yourself, though. You've got to fall in love with yourself. Because if you're trying to live your life for somebody else, you'll never come to completion for you. You're trying to say how you love somebody else, but you don't love yourself. If you don't love yourself, how do you even know what real love is? You have to turn the thing around. You're an important part in this walk of Christianity. You're an important part in the kingdom of God. Quit trying to fix other people when you're broke. Fix your brokenness. And you don't have to do it yourself. Jesus gave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It all ties together. It all works hand in hand. John 20:31. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. His name. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the vine, the shepherd, the one that shows us everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Acts 3:6, when Peter and John were walking up to the Gate Beautiful, and the beggar that had been there for years and years, he was sitting there on the mat and said, do you have anything? He's asking for a handout. He's asking for help because he's crippled and he can't get up and he can't work. And Peter and John, just freshly being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they had received, and they knew because of the teachings in the upper room discourse that anything they ask in His name, it'll be done. And so Peter and John approach the guy, and the guy looks up and he says, can you help me? And Peter and John looked down and said, silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk. And automatically, boom, he stood and walked, and people were astounded. And this was a start. This is a reformation. This is the beginning of a church in the Word of God. This is the power of Jesus Christ alive and at work through them. So that term, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is what it means. In the authority of Jesus Christ. So when you're praying, and you're closing your prayer out or whatever it is that you're asking, the statement in the end of that prayer is that in the authority of Jesus Christ, in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, this be done.
Amen.
When we start thinking right and we start meditating on how these things move and groove and work in our lives, watch out. Because I believe that when we understand in a more clearer manner that it's not a hocus-pocus magic trick, but it is our complete faith, and it is God working through us, not us doing the work, then we have bigger and bigger breakthroughs. By using Jesus' name, we show who gives us authority and power to do the healing, to cast out demons, to cleanse the leper, to walk in our spiritual gifts. The emphasis is not on what we can do, but what God can do through us. It is Jesus Christ Himself, not merely the sound of His name, who gives us our prayer and their power. Jesus. So sitting on the couch, when Steph jumped in the shower, I was going, Lord, what is the answer to not getting just everything I asked for? And this is what He told me this morning. And I wrote it down, and I want to read it because I want it to be accurate the way it was given to me. And it's simple because I'm a simple kind of person, and it's short. I don't have everything I've asked for. Who's with me there? I don't have everything I've asked for. But what I have asked for. That's what I was told this morning. But what I have asked for. I have a beautiful family that's been restored from where it was 12 years ago because I asked for it. I have healthy kids who have been protected, and their innocence has been protected because I asked for that every day of my life. I have vehicles to drive. I have a beautiful home to live in. I have money in the bank because I've asked for these things. I have health for my wife and my kids. I've seen multiple breakthroughs through you individuals, many of you who have answered prayers because we've asked for them.
Amen.
What we do as human beings in this world is we look at all the stuff we don't have and we mutter on the fact that we're going, God, where were you? God, why aren't you answering this? You know, I am a hunter and I spend a lot of time in the woods and I have venison in the freezer. If I asked for venison every time, if that prayer got answered every time I went out, I'd be able to share with you guys more. But you know, but I have venison in the freezer, so I do. I get everything that I ask for that I need. I am not without, and I am not in lack. And that's how the Lord showed it to me today. I don't have everything I've asked for, but what I have asked for. In Jesus' name, what I have asked for it.
Thank you, Lord.
I haven't had all my prayers answered, was the second part. I haven't had all my prayers answered, but every answer came through prayer. I haven't had all my prayers answered, but every answer has come through prayer. And that is what I leave with you today, guys. When you're focusing on, I haven't got everything. It says, whatever you ask in my name, it'll be given to you. Anything you ask. I had to reflect back on my own personal life. You know what? I would have no answered prayers if I didn't pray. So I do pray, and I pray without ceasing. And I ask, and I seek, and I knock. And the Bible says, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And I ask in Jesus' name. So I don't have every prayer answered, but every answer I do have has been through prayer. And I don't have everything that I've asked for, but what I do have, I did ask for. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I am so grateful for this day. I'm so grateful for the body of Christ that is here. Lord, I thank you that through you, divine change and transformation can be made. I thank you, Lord, that you meet, and not only meet, but exceed every expectation of my brothers and sisters that are here and those that are listening. Father, I thank you that through you, we have a completely divine relationship with our Heavenly Father. Father, I ask for those that have never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of their life, for those that have never committed to know you as Savior, to know you as Lord, that they would make that decision today, that they would know, Father, that through your Son, and when we ask in the power and authority of Jesus Christ, it will be done. So, Father, I ask today that someone listening within the sound of my voice, here or far, that they would make you Lord and Savior of their life. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Father, I thank you for the protection and safety upon all that are here today and listening, and our families and friends. And I ask for that divine protection to be carried out through the mighty and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we give all praise to you today and thanks to you today because and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.